Hey, yo, we about to tear it up. Hey, yo.
Break for break, get down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Break Actors Podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. the failed Homo sapien.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. the actual factual.
Yes. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Christopher. I'm going to say salute to the listeners. Love you. Appreciate you. But we got a legend in the building. And we've got to do this intro justice for Mr. Tracy Lee. This is arguably one of the most maturest adult contemporary conversations we've had on this podcast with a guest. I am very proud of the conversation we had because it wasn't necessarily centered around music, but it was still very hip-hop at the very same time. This is a very good conversation for all of those who are growing up and trying to figure out what's going on in the world with three adults, but with an OG who gave us great insight, great perspective, and at some point I was at my most vulnerable that I've ever been in my life on this podcast. How do you feel about that, Chris?
I don't think maturist is an actual word.
It's not, and I realized as I was saying it that it isn't.
That's fine though.
But I'm that kind of guy where it's a word now. It's now become it's in the lexicon of podcast slang. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
I went to school, innit? It makes sense.
Oh, here we go. Bringing back stuff from like 2019 now. You went to school, yeah? You went to school. How are you, man?
I'm chilling, man. I'm good. Good.
You good?
Yeah,
you good.
I'm good.
You well?
Yep.
You well? Good.
I am well.
I like this conversation. And I can't wait. Since we had the conversation, I've been very eager to get it out. Just because I think it's just an important conversation that we all had. Amongst, I guess, it's like a group of friends talking about some real shit.
And I think it's worth mentioning as well, the importance isn't lost on me that this guest is our first two-time guest. So,
yes,
that means a lot to me too, definitely.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. This is Tracy Lee, Breaking Atoms podcast. Check it out. It's a special episode of the Breaking Atoms podcast, and boy, do we have a goodie for you. We have the return of a legend, who's here to talk to us about Glory, the album, Glory, the manuscript, celebrating 24 years of many faces, a legend of the game, someone that we really, really respect. It's the one, the only, Tracy Lee. Tracy, man, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good, and thank you for having me here, man. This is always a pleasure to be able to talk to my brothers across the pond, man, so appreciate it, man,
Thank you for this. I'm holding up Glory. Oh. You signed it. I looked at it, I was like, yo, he signed it. I got so gassed, bro. You saw the video. I sent the video to you. I got so gassed. I was like, he signed it, my name. So much love, and listen, the pivot is real. That's really, really, it's a really good pivot, and I think it's showing leadership in terms of, like, you don't necessarily have to be a Rick Ross or a Nas or a Jay to have something like this. This is something that's personal to you, and it's a great way to infuse the manuscript. Glory, the manuscript, is a great way to infuse the album and to complement it. So much love to you and much success to you. We're going to have some real talk today, right?
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk some real talk. Yes. Like, because Chris did a wonderful job. An excellent job with the first interview.
I can't thank Chris enough for that last interview, man. That was really insightful and impressive, because there are not a lot of people, you know, there are a few people that know about Many Faces, but he really, really understands, not just know it, but understands what that album is and just the concept and what it means and what I was attempting to do with regard to the presentation. So salute to you, Chris, man, for really breaking that thing down last time.
It was a stand moment for me, and I just wanted to do you and the culture proud, you know, and that's it. And you know, you're our first two-time guest on Breaking Atoms as well, so that's special.
I'm blown away, man. I'm blown away.
Our first two-time guest, so you know, we have to do it right.
Go do it right. So Trey, 50 years on Earth.
Yeah.
So many years of being in music, being in the culture, being immersed in hip-hop. You say so many trips around the sun, things become revealing. What have you learned?
man, I've learned a lot about myself, first and foremost. Just the evolution, you know, if, you know, and if you've listened to the album, as you guys have, but anybody else is out there that's listening, I talk about the old me, you know, I talk about, you know, hit on it, not necessarily take a deep dive into it, but just the things that I've had to endure, the things that I've had to learn and relearn, and be able to regurgitate these lessons in a very skillful way with regards to the music, but then also in a way that I can be able to talk to my 6 and 4 year old, you know what I mean? So that they, when they encounter these things, and you know, when you're young as man, you don't, you know, you listen to the old head and you hear what they're saying, but it doesn't really resonate until it actually happens. And that's a fact. But my job is to be able to at least give you the information or give you some insight on what you may encounter. It's not a guarantee. And so over these 50 years that I've been on Earth in these trips around the sun, it has given me an opportunity, first and foremost, to learn more about myself and what I'm able to contribute, you know, to society and to humanity and to my family. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it was all about. That's what it's all about.
Right. So jumping forward, and you talk about this in the album, you also talk about this in the book, the manuscript, talking about the almost the constructs of the system that is designed to keep certain communities down. You talk about family, you talk about, you know, your kids and the society you live in. How can we start to prepare each other or prepare the next generation to deal with that? Because you're very forward with the fact that, yo, I'm good, we're good. You know, this is what we're going through prepares us, but we're good. But you are strong. Not everyone is as strong as each other. How do we help build each other up to ensure that those adversities we face from certain communities that are, you know, they're designed to keep us down. How do we push forward?
I think it's constant information. I think it's constant conversation. You know, what I fear, and I talked to somebody about this the other day, you know, and I see it happening right before me. What I fear is that, you know, we went through last summer, not only from, you know, our standpoint here in the States, but I saw it worldwide. You know, people were outraged over George Floyd and outraged over Breonna Taylor and outraged of the things that are happening over here in America that happens all over the world. But it felt like it all came to a head at one time last year and everybody was on the same page. But then, as time goes on, people go back to their regularly scheduled program and you tend to forget, or you tend to push it to the side, or you tend to think that everything's okay now, but it's not. So I think that constant conversation, that constant reminder, that constant, these are the things. And I don't think it takes strength in order for you let me not say that. It does, but I think out of sight, out of mind. If you're not thinking about it, it doesn't require you to even, you know, think about the next phase, which is the strength to move on. You know what I'm saying? So I think these constant conversations need to be had. I think, and no, we're not a monolith. Like, everybody doesn't think the same way at the same time. But I think there are pockets of people that have these kind of conversations. And I think the end game is the same. How you get there may be different, but the end game is the same. And whatever, you know, a pocket you choose to go in, there still needs to be constant dialogue. So that's what I think needs to take place and continue to take place as we continue to move forward.
And before I never, Chris, the reason why I emphasize that point is when you read the book, when you listen to the album, you make a point to build each other up. And it's very important because you are trying to have that constant communication. It's filtered throughout the book, throughout the album. And it's sometimes we need leaders to kickstart. You know what I'm saying? If the car is at a standstill, we need those people to push it forward. And that's why leadership, and at the age we are at, the wealth of knowledge that we're still seeking, it's very important that we kind of push that and create the spark that other people take on. So salute.
And in some of it, I mean, to piggyback off of that, man, it's like, how am I trying to say this? It's like people don't want to share information. People always want someone to purchase the information. You know what I'm saying? You know, the game is to be sold, not to be told, which I always thought was, if and pardon my French, which is bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's always been bullshit to me. You know, in order for us to move forward as a unit, you have to share the information. You understand? Not have somebody pay you for the information. Because then what that does is divides people. You know what I mean? They're the have and the have nots. They're the haves that can afford the information, and then the have nots that go into this thing blind and in the dark and all that other stuff because you decided that you wanted to charge them for the information in whatever field that you're in. You know what I'm saying? So I think that is of importance as well, especially for those who have been here long enough to understand and have the knowledge to share. You know what I mean?
So you talk about knowledge and sharing. But one of the threads I've realized that really comes through, you know, it comes through quite powerfully in your recent material is this evolution of yourself. Mm-hmm. So what would the new you or the new Tracy Lee tell the old Tracy Lee? Just some of the key lessons you've learned along the way.
Yeah, man. It's funny that you asked that because I actually addressed that in the book, right? You know, it's essentially... to take, you know, like, okay, so let's just take this business for example. There are certain things, you know, coming up in the game that I just had to have and I didn't mind being ignorant to the other aspects of the game. You understand? Like, I just wanted to be signed. I wanted to be the illest MC and I wanted to be signed. But not understanding that when you do get signed, there is a whole nother dimension and a whole other element that you were never exposed to, you know what I mean, that you're going to encounter that has nothing to do with your talent. You know what I'm saying? So one of the things that I would definitely tell the younger Trey Lee now is that understand about this business, understand what you're getting into, understand, you know, what the motives are, you know what I mean? Understand what the end game for them is. It's not necessarily the end game for you. So you're going to have to figure out how to navigate through this system in order to achieve the things that you want to achieve, but at the same time, with a clear understanding of what they're trying to achieve. And so therein lies the give and take, the tug of war. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that was a part of, I would say 95% of my frustration once I got into the game and started to understand what this game is. You know what I'm saying? You know, so those are the things that I would teach the younger Trey Lee. Also, you know, do your due diligence. You know what I'm saying? You know, which is a part of that process, which includes understanding what you need to build around you in order to be able to navigate through the system, if you will. You can't get through that by yourself. You know what I mean? But you can't hire or bring aboard people who are just as ignorant or incompetent as you are. You know what I'm saying? And not really understanding how to get through it. So those would be some of the lessons that I would definitely teach the younger Trey Lee.
So in terms of like spirituality and love and religion, like, when I listened to Glory, it gave me flashbacks of On the Edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those themes just keep ringing true all the time. And that's what I love is there's a consistency in your message. Where are you today in terms of your spirituality, your belief, and love?
I don't move without it. I don't make a move without it. I don't, you know, I analyze, I study, you know, I look at, you know, past dealings, not only of myself, but others that are in similar situations. And at the end of the day, my decisions are still made by my intuition, my gut, my spirituality, which is encompasses my spirituality. You know, they say, you know, well, not they say, but I believe prayer changes everything. But prayer and faith without works is dead. So you still have to put in the work. You don't pray and just sit still. That's not how it works. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, that's not how God works. You know, you pray. You have faith, but you continue to put in the work. And as you put in the work, you start to see things happen based on your faith, you know, based on your belief. And so, and you notice that's always been a common thing with me from the beginning, even if I made some of the wrong decisions. And I made a lot of wrong decisions in my life, you know what I'm saying? But then I understand, have a full understanding of how I got out of these decision that I made. It was based on my faith and my spirituality. You know what I'm saying? There could have been many times that, you know, I said it in Glory, when you escape a point blank to the melon, you know what I'm saying? Like I've looked down the barrel of a gun, you know what I'm saying? And understand that that wasn't me that got me out of that situation. You know what I mean? It couldn't have been, you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't really get into these discussions and debates about, you know, who God is and what, because I know in my life and in my circumstances, I know what I was able to control and what I was not able to control. And I know it wasn't me that got me out of certain situations. So that's where I'm at with it, with regards to my faith and belief and spirituality. And you notice I say spirituality as opposed to religion. There's a distinct difference. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
May the church say amen. You know Pastor, I mean? Pastor Tracy Lee, I'm passing the mic to you, Summit, before I start, you know, putting on my choir robe and just going for one.
When you start shouting and talking in tongue, right? You know what I mean?
Listen, man, like, I grew up in church, so I know exactly what scriptures you were quoting. Like, yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, Summit. We talked about that on the last show about
that's right.
When you grew up, exactly.
So there's something I just want to point out that there is, before I go to the next question, there's not necessarily a vulnerability, but there's an honesty throughout everything you're doing. And it's prevalent throughout the book too. And I think that has to be saluted, because we come to a point where in our communities, we are so afraid for whatever reason to talk to each other, to tell one another we're not well or whatever it is. And you mention, you make a point that, you know, you are a couple of maybe days or conversations from, like, you need to go see someone. Right.
That's right.
And it's very important that we have that conversation, because from people in our communities, we don't do that. That's seen as a negative, you know. So to be that open, that honest, and that, I guess, vulnerable, it's very important to do that. And you talk about spirituality, and I wonder if you talk about the second lease of life in the book, and you talk about almost seeing hindsight as a gift. Is that intrinsically linked with your spirituality, or is it just something you've learned as a cross to just growing older, having a family, you know, learning about life?
I think that's all encompassing. Everything that you said all connects. It is about spirituality, but it is about being on this earth long enough to see and know and understand. It is about, like, the second lease on life, you know, is not only me reaching this age, but then also, you know, seeing, you know, knowing that I have a 6 and a 4-year-old that I'm ushering through, you know what I'm saying? That gives me an opportunity. Like, I see myself in them, and I hope they see me in themselves, you know what I'm saying? And if they do see me in themselves, then I have to be an example, you understand? So this is my second lease on, you know, quote unquote, getting it right. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I did many wrong things. I have done some wrong things, but in order for me to make it this far, you know what I'm saying? I think the wrong and the right, the good and the wrong, I mean, the right outweighs the wrong and the good outweighs the bad. So we're here. But you know, that whole ideal of making it this far, you know what I'm saying, and putting myself in a position to be able to lead and to be able to be that example. And even with the whole vulnerability thing, like you said, if it wasn't for the gift of being able to write, you know what I'm saying, where's my outlet? You know what I mean? There's certain things, like you alluded to, there's certain things that just we as a community don't like to share with one another for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you know, somebody may think you soft, or somebody may think, you know what I mean, you're crazy. You know what I'm saying? And because of the ego, you know what I mean, it won't allow us to be open. It won't allow us to be vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? Which I'm blessed to be able to have the gift to, right? Because honestly, I don't know if I could have those kind of conversations, you know what I'm saying? But it's easier for me to have that kind of conversation through the music, because now you've heard it through the music. Now I can talk about it because it's already out, you know what I mean? But to come from and these are the things, as you alluded to, these are the things that hopefully the music will allow other people that don't have this gift to be able to have the kind of conversation from the cuff, you know what I'm saying?
I've lost my spirituality along the way. And so that's had an impact on, am I crazy? You know,
yes.
Managing things. It's all gone off. Like, I was very, there was a time in my life I was very good at just looking at things, analyzing things, and and going, okay, cool, c'est la vie, or we'll do it this way, or we move on. And somewhere along the way in the busyness of life, or things that have happened in life personally, I've lost that kind of spirituality. So when I was reading the book...
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's why I asked the question, because...
Wow.
Now I'm never... I'm the
prime... No, I love the vulnerability. This is great, man. Go ahead.
I told you we're going to have a real conversation. It's you. To me, like, you a guru, like, big homie star, so, like, we're going to have that real conversation. Yes. You know what I mean? Guru's like my brother. Like, we have to have that real conversation. Yes. And we have to have this. This is not just about, like, la-di-doo-da, let's music that. We could talk music. Listen, we could talk music all day. This is a conversation we need to have that's important, right? And with someone like you to be eloquent enough to express that, I think it's important. Lost my way spiritually, and I feel like that's affected how I deal with things, right? And so you end up becoming someone that you think you're not. But it's either it was already there and you were pushing it to the side, or your spirituality or the way of your mentality that was rooted in spirituality, not necessarily God, because I am in agreement in you in terms of the way you discuss religion as a system and spirituality being, I can see that. But that has, we need to get back to that. Whatever your spirituality is, whether it's rooted in meditation, whether it's rooted in religion, whether it's rooted in a higher being, you must have that, whatever it is to you, right? And I've genuinely lost that over the past 2 years or so, 18 months. Man, I lost that shit. And I can see it's affecting me in all different ways. And I'm acting in certain ways I would never do before. And I'm like, yo, I'm supposed to be growing with age and growing with experience and growing with patience. And I'm reversing. So when I read the book, I was like, oh, goddamn. Maybe it's a spirituality that's missing. That's making me act in these ways. So we got to get back to that. Maybe that's for me.
No. Summit, you man. Yeah, we're having a real conversation. Because I think if you've lived long enough, you've been there. I've been there. And I've been there multiple times. That's the deal. See what I'm saying? Even in the midst of... You too, Chris, right?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been there multiple times. But the thing is, here's the beautiful part about it. If a part of your framework, your grounding, if you will, was made up of that, then I believe when you stray, there's always that groundwork that'll pull you back. Just in the nick of time, though. You know what I'm saying? Just when you're about to make the illest decision in the world, the craziest decision in the world that could alter your life, here comes the spirituality pulling you back and centering you to where your foundation is and has always been. But we all stray. We're human. We're human beings, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's a seesaw nature of it.
Yeah.
That's making me go, yo, damn, how am I? Like, there's days I'm like, yo, I'm on it. And there's days like, no. And I'm like, yo, this is like first time in my life. I'm 36 years old. It's the first time in my life where I'm having this. I guess maybe one part of my life where, you know, I suffered a great personal loss. But even then, like, I was angry. I went through the process of mourning, but that was it. But then I came back to spirituality and, like, I was like, man, fuck you, God. But I'm a be special. Like, I'm a keep some, I guess, I don't know how to explain. It's really weird to kind of, I miss articulate.
No. You're doing perfect, man. I get, yo, you have no idea. That's why this is so, man.
Like it's in my head, I can... It's sometimes an existential thing where I can see myself doing something that I know not to be the right thing that I would normally do, but I can't stop it.
Yep.
So I'm looking at it like a movie, like, is this some movie shit? Like, what am I doing? And it's too late now. Now I've crossed over. And now you're setting new boundaries for yourself, which is never good. And now the boundaries you always set, the new boundaries you set have now eroded the old ones. And now it's about getting backwards. It's about unlearning, right? So there's a thing, and I'm getting all spiritual and religious, right? So
No. So
it's necessary, bro. Go ahead.
No.
So in Hinduism or Sanskrit, in the belief system, in written the scriptures, there's a thing about unlearning, right? Mm-hmm. You're born, you learn these things, you the contract society, and then you have to unlearn these things to be one with yourself, right?
That's a fact.
And so that's the process that I'm going through. But then there's so much stuff happening. Right? Mm-hmm. I just had a kid born. Like, forgive me, because this is in the book. You were born 2 months premature?
Yes.
Right? My kid was born 2 months premature.
What's premature?
Right?
Wow.
So I'm looking at this, I'm going, and then the pace of life, what's happening in the world, the continuous thing that we see every single day towards people of color, and then you're trying to live your life, you're trying to do all these things, it's like, yo, head explode. With everything we do in life, we've got to work at it, like gym. Yep. We've got to train at it. And if we at some point miss a gym day, if we miss leg day, we're screwed. So I've missed leg day.
Man, you just broke it down so simple, but that's essentially what it is, yo. That's essentially what it is. So when you get back into the gym and you get back on the legs, if you missed a couple days, it hurts. You have to relearn. Your muscles have to relearn that whole situation again. And it hurts. But you get through it. You know what I'm saying? Yep, absolutely.
100%. Sticking with the vulnerability, in your book, you talk about finding sanity within the insane and, you know, coping mechanisms. So I go for therapy every 2 weeks. Mm. And one of the key things that comes up in my sessions are my coping mechanisms and how some of them are unhealthy. So I have this thing where, you know, I can dismiss things and people by saying it's cool. Mm-hmm. When deep down, I'm so passionate and it's so important to me.
Yeah.
And I just say it's cool. Or my humor, I can often laugh at very serious situations, even though they're hurting me inside. Mm-hmm. What are some of your coping mechanisms, good and bad?
Man, I mean, you know, everything goes back to the music, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's my biggest way of coping with things. And I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of like you, Chris. Like, I'll say something like, you know, it's cool, but it really isn't. But here's where age comes into play. It's almost like you trick your mind after doing that for such a long time. You kind of trick your mind where you really are cool. Like when I was younger, I say it's cool, but it would eat me alive inside. The older I got, if I'm saying it's cool, it's easy for me to, you know, like think of the bigger picture. Think of in a grand scheme of things, is it really that important? Like really understanding what's important, what means, like what type of value, you know, certain situations and certain things hold, and what really in the grand scheme of things of life really is not that important. It's like the older you get, simplicity is the key. I try to keep everything real simple, real simple. And everything else is just because it really don't matter. Like, if you talk to some people, they'll tell you, you know what I mean? This is not real. How we're living, like, the way we live and how, and that's on some metaphysical, and that's a whole nother deeper conversation. But they'll tell you, this ain't real. This computer ain't real. This camera's not real. You know, even though you touch it, this is not real. This in the metaphysical, you know, realm, none of this stuff is real. So it really doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And I'm not all the way there, but I understand what they're trying to say. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like that's a lot of my coping mechanisms are similar to yours with regards to that. But the other is, again, I put it in the music, man. I put everything in the music. And that's where the vulnerability and the honesty and all of the kind of stuff comes into play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm the same. My wife tells me I put too much of my business in the music, but I'm like, this is my therapy.
You need that, yo. Because, like I said, if you don't do that, you'll be talking to somebody that you really don't want to talk to. You see what I'm saying? But you got to get it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely.
I used to do that, Trey. You know, you're talking about keeping things simple.
Yeah.
Like this right here in this middle, this gray area, is that everything else? I don't care. That's what I lost.
You'll get it back.
Now
you'll
get back. Everything's like this and it's like there and yo, it's a mad, but it's a life lesson, right?
That's right.
This is all about learning.
That's right.
But what I will say to you though, Sumit, is, you know, we do live in a world, I don't think we've ever lived in a time where there's so many things and people vying for our attention at any given moment. We are continuously pulled, pushed, swayed.
Man.
Like there's, bro, we are in a world of distraction and so many voices that I struggle now just to focus on simple tasks. Because of this thing, Mr. Lee is holding up the phone.
And I think you're right. I think I've always been good at, like, I took a break from social media, period, for like almost 2 years because I could just do it. And I'm ahead of digital, right? That's my job, and I could do it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is inherent to just the pace, and I need to do is take time for myself.
Yes.
And you take time, but there is no time, Trey. It can't happen right now. So it's gonna prolong a little bit until I can actually get some time, because, you know, my wife's not well, my kid is still, like, my kid's teething, so I need to find them time where I can have that. I guess everyone deals with things differently, right? We all process right. And we digest things differently. Right. And I'm very acutely aware of what I need to do to, A, relax, what can get me in the mood. You know, the thing that kicked that, you know, when people feel a certain way and they need to kickstart something to get them in a momentum? I know all of that. Like, I'm aware of all that. I just can't do any of it right now. So what I'm doing is struggling and fighting and I'm lashing out. And that's the... anyway.
Well, I challenge you. I say, it's not that you can't. You just haven't figured out how.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Okay. Because it, like we're talking, it comes and goes. It comes and goes. Even for me, it comes and goes as far as the simplicity box and then all of a sudden there'll be a distraction, as Chris alluded to, that'll pull me out of my simplicity box. And I'm like, why am I even worried about that? So you know what I found? Like, even in my house, right? Like, there are levels. Okay. So when you say, you know, I have to find time for myself. Okay. So the find time for myself, as opposed to the rest of the world, is finding time for my house, my wife, and my kids. And then there's a level to that. Okay, so I need to find time to myself within this house. So what do? I wait till my kids and my wife go to sleep, and then I'm up to like 2 a.m, just myself, finding myself. And then, you know, the question comes, oh, so what were you doing up late at night? I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was simply thinking. You know what I'm saying? That's a part of my whole process. Like, then I'm able to deal with everything else. If I get that opportunity to just sit and just chill by myself and think, now by the time you wake up in the morning, I'm ready to deal with you in a good way. I'm ready to deal with the kid, ready to deal with the world. You see what I'm saying? Then that process starts all over again by the end of the day, because everything is pulling you again. So you have to center yourself again and start all over.
Do you know what's crazy? That's why I just recently quit my job.
Man, good for you.
Screw it. Can't do it. Because now I don't sleep. I used to be sleep. I sleep like a baby.
Yeah.
And I'm not sleeping well, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sleeping at 1-2 o'clock. I want to sleep, but I can't sleep, right? For whatever reason. There's things in my mind, whatever, right? It's like, nah, I can't sustain this. What matters to me right now is my family. And if I'm not there to be... If I can't be there for my wife and kid, then everything has to drop and I'll get money somewhere else.
That's a fact.
So I've officially left my job, handed my resignation. I've got 3 months. That's it. But it's for that reason that something had to give. I need to reclaim control back. This is part of that reclaiming of control. I've identified a problem. This is a solution. Let's move on and let's try to get some clarity for myself.
And once you handed in that slip, that 3 week or whatever, then you feel an instant relief.
Yeah. Instantly. My wife said, why did you do this earlier? I said I was going to. She's like, oh, okay.
Instantly you'd be like, it's like a weight just lifted off your back and your shoulders. You'd be like,
I just don't like that. Like, I say this a lot because I'm the potty mouth of the South. I don't give a fuck about a lot of things, but recently I've given a fuck about a lot of things and I need to get back to how I used to be. But that's a different story.
I swear you sound like me, man. I swear at the point in my life, I said the exact same. Like, who am I? When did I become this?
You know what I mean? Anyway, speaking of money, talk to us about $7 to seven figures. Because there's a bit around, like, I saw the mug. So I want to tie that in too, because we can't talk to Tracy Lee and not talk about HU. So talk to us about $7 to seven figures.
Oh man, you know, goes back to the whole faith and spirituality and just giving it to what you believe, to God, right? So, and it was symbolic more so than just, you know, giving an offering at the church. So I went to church because I was down to my last $7 after I had got dropped. After I lost my deal, you know, I was able to put away some money, but if you're not working on a full-time basis and you're still chasing this dream of being a recording artist and doing things now independently, and you're not receiving, you know, the return on your investment, if you will, then money starts to dwindle. So I got down to my last $7. So what do we do? Chris, I don't know. I think we talked about this last
time. We did, right? But the story needs to be told again because it's
powerful. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. So, you know, I was like, what do I do? Do I go get a meal? After the meal, then what? You know what I'm saying? It's over. So it was like, look, I can't. I tried myself, you know, as a human being to figure this thing out. It's like, I can't, man. God, take it. Because I don't know what to do. So I, you know, as a symbolic gesture, man, I went to church and I put it in the pan. And so a week later, I get a call from Wayne Barrow, who is the president of Bystorm Entertainment. And he tells me, Universal has a check for you, but they don't have an address, you know, in order to send it. So, you know, call this number, blase, blah, and give them the address and they'll send it to you. So I did that. And then within a week's time after that conversation with Universal, I get a check in the mail for $7,000. And then I'm like, man, you know, I got on my knees and damn near cried. You know what I'm saying? It was like, man, thank you. You know, but then a week after that, I get another check for $57,000. And so, again, like I said earlier in this conversation, I don't get into conversations about, you know, my belief system and the fact that I believe in God with others that don't. And I just don't, because you operate and function how you function, but I know my truth and I know my testimony. So therefore, it's examples like this that have been happening to me all of my life that, and so that's where the consistency comes in. It's not like this is a one-off. It's not like this is a, you know, but just that, you know, if you want to call it a miracle, it's just that situation that happens to me, you know, whenever, and we talked about pulling, whenever you drift, and then all of a sudden there's examples of something that pulls you back. These are the examples that pull me back and center me into my belief system. And so that's what happened. I was able to, you know, pay off some bills. I paid off Howard at the time, you know, since we're going to segue into that. And then I was able to make a clearer decision on what I wanted to do after that, which, you know, still involved prayer and faith. And so that's when I discovered that I needed to go to law school, you know what I'm saying, to learn about this business that had me discouraged over that time period when I ran out of money and got down to my last $7. And so I went to, you know, Southern University Law Center, you know, got my Juris Doctorate and have been passed the bar in 2007 and been a licensed attorney for the last 14 years.
Howard University.
Yes.
Now, why is it such a hub for talent? Like I look at your Instagram and I'm just seeing all these names. It's like the Queensbridge of colleges.
Yeah, man.
So much talent comes out there. Talk about why is Howard like this?
Oh man, I think, you know, even before I got there, man, it just has such a rich history of, you know, of academia, of entertainment. You know, you talk about the first Supreme Court Justice, you know, Thurgood Marshall. You talk about, you know, the Donny Hathaways of the world and the Debbie Allens and the Felicia, you know, Alan Rashads and even, you know, up to speed with, you know, the Sean Puppy Combs of the world and Derek D. Angeletti's and the Mark Pitts and the Marlon Wayans and the Anthony Andersons and the Taraji P. Henson's and the Chadwick Boseman's. And the, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And I just believe that it's just the rich history that Howard was able to establish. So, you know, it's almost like once the machine starts rolling, it rolls on its own. And so I just think there's a natural gravitation for people who are trying to achieve a certain status to automatically, when they're going through their process of looking for, you know, colleges and universities while they're in high school, and especially being Black in America, and not even just in America, around the world, you know, the natural gravitation is to look at Howard, you know, as one of the institutions that you want to be a part of because of its history. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, and in our particular time and setting when I was there, not only was it the history aspect of being at Howard, which gives you a sense of pride, but then you usher in a generation of entrepreneurs. So, you know, in my generation, we start talking about people from that were born between 1965 and 1979, which is hip hop. You know what I'm saying? We are the first generation of Black entrepreneurs in America, you know, because the baby boomers, which is our parents, they were probably the first generation of actual college students, you know, students. And then even in my generation, they were, you know, some of those, I would venture to say the majority of those were first generation, you know, college students. But, you know, I can only speak from my particular situation. My parents were first generation college students, which were part of the baby boomers. And their whole mind state was to go to a 4-year college, get the degree, and then go get a job. You know what I'm saying? Go work for somebody. But what it would do is it'll increase your pay. You know what I'm saying? Of what Black people in America were getting paid, you know, at a particular time. But our generation, which is the era that we ushered in at Howard University, was to get the degree and then either go get a job or become entrepreneurs or go to Howard at first. And if you find what you're looking for before you actually graduate, you know, from an entrepreneurial perspective, i.e. Sean Puffy Combs and what he did, he left early and pursued his dreams. But it was nurtured at Howard University around the type of student and the atmosphere that was there at that particular time. So that I just believe that our era was, I consider, the golden era. And it was, and if you look at everybody that is really at the top of the food chain right now, from Puff to Mark Pitts, who is now the president of RCA Records, you know what I'm saying? Sony RCA, to Anthony Anderson, you know what I'm saying? Who's all over your ABC network, you know what I'm saying? Taraji P. Henson and so Marlon Wayans and what his him and his family have been able to accomplish. You know, those are the people that I went to school with and sat in classrooms, you know, right next to me, you know what I mean? And so these are the type of attitudes that were there, you know, while we were there. And so that festered, you know what I mean? And that was contagious. And that is what we brought to the table and to the world once we left that institution.
So you've touched on the history in terms of your parents' generation, but you also touched on the future. And I think this is going to tie in nicely to our last question. Yes. Preservation of self,
yes.
Clean bill of mental health,
yes.
Generational wealth. I was having a conversation with my producer today, and he was talking about imparting knowledge to his daughter. He's getting into trading.
Mm-hmm.
So he's thinking, okay, what I learned now, I'm going to pass on to her. That's also part of generational wealth. And I thought, wow, like, because oftentimes we look at money and assets, but not wisdom and information. In your opinion, what are some of the steps that we have to take to achieve generational wealth? And how will we know that we're actually there?
Information, education, you know, almost one and the same. Education can also be considered, you know, systematic, if you will, going to, you know, high school, college, you know, postgraduate education, things like that, which is where we are in America, you know, not just having a 4-year college degree is not quite cutting it anymore. You know what I'm saying? If you choose to go down certain paths, you know what I'm saying? Now you can, you know, from a tech space, you know, if you discover some hot technology or create an app, you know what I'm saying, or something like that, then, you know, you can come up rather quickly. But information, education, these are, to me, in the forefront of creating generational wealth. Knowledge is key, man. Like, there are a lot of us in America, Black people in America in particular, that didn't quite understand about life insurance and how that works. You understand? Like, that's how they've been able to, you know, create generational wealth for themselves. I mean, for decades. Yeah. Life insurance, something as simple as life insurance policies.
That's one of the best financial decisions. My mom said to me, Trey, get life insurance, Chris.
Yes.
Get life insurance, Chris. I was 21. I'm 38 now. Get life insurance, Chris. And I did it. And it's paying off now because I know should the worst happen.
Yes.
Or, you know, people are taken care of. Yes. I don't want to leave any bills.
Yes.
Yes. I want people to chill. So that's you're 100% right in terms of life insurance. I think that's a key lesson.
And you take out a policy for your kids because it skips a generation. You see what I'm saying? So now these are your grandkids,
yep,
that you now are protecting. Home ownership, you know what I'm saying? Property. These are the things that we're not taught, you know what I mean, that we're now teaching. You know what I'm saying? So we're on the precipice of being able to, you know, financial literacy. That's another key aspect, you know what I'm saying, to generational wealth, understanding how the system works. You know, there's still plenty of us, the majority of us, that don't understand how that works. And so it's up for us, going back to the knowledge and information, to pass that along. And that is, to me, the keys to generational wealth.
Wow. Tracy Lee, I mean, I know this is a hip-hop podcast, but I think this episode, it wasn't for that.
No, but this is, this is hip-hop. This is,
I hear you. Yeah. Wait, this is through a hip-hop lens, but I think sometimes people want top five MCs, your favorite producers are. We have time for all of that. These are the jewels, like OC would say. These are the jewels.
Fuck those people. If you want that, there's a million and one of those. Go fuck yourself over there. Right.
Right. Right.
We are.
I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, we are three individuals who can offer a voice, a contribution, and perspective on all of these issues. And if you're about debating stuff, go over there. That's easy shit. We could do that in our sleep if we wanted
to.
That's not hard. This
pushes the culture. When you start talking about pushing the culture forward, this is pushing the culture forward. You know what I'm saying? This is not stagnation we're talking about. This is pushing. This is what our culture needs.
Yeah.
In order to move forward.
Genuinely, man, this, we can talk about lyrics on this album, beats. Like, dude, man, like, we grew up in this. This no isn't doubt. New to us. It's new to you because you weren't cool. Go over there. Stay over there. Do what you need to do. We are here trying to impact lives and trying to inspire people to go, hey man, let me pick this up for you and take it and make it better. We ain't here just to go, oh, what did you think of Raekwon's verse there? I think your mum, that's what I think. Your mum, that's what I think. That's what I think.
Do you know what, yeah? Something's going to happen to me off the back of something that Sumit says, you know?
Listen. Trey said, and he stared at the barrel of a gun. I ain't scared. Yeah. When you have that in your life, I ain't scared, bro.
Yeah, but don't invite it though, innit?
Nah, fuck them. What are they gonna do?
Nah, listen, and I agree with you, Summit, man. If you can't, you're going to, like you said, you're going to be right where you are if you are not listening to this and understanding, you know, where this conversation is trying to, you know, lead you to. You know, if you want to stay where you are, then that's fine. You stay, but don't impede the progress of those that are trying to understand. You know what I'm saying? And don't get mad at somebody for giving you the information. Like that's silly.
And let me rein it back because I get all like hype and everything is serious.
I love it.
But basically, there's a place for everything.
That's right.
And there's no knocking it. It's great. You do what you do. That's you. That's who you are. That's what you identify with. All bless. All much power to you. I wish you more success and all that. However,
no doubt.
We're different. We want to do things that are. And when we speak to people like yourself, where there's an opportunity to disseminate that kind of information in such an articulate way, we are not doing a service to you, the community, the culture, if we don't have those conversations.
Hey, man. And again, like we started this conversation, thank you both for allowing this on your platform and allowing me to come and, you know, just basically chop it up, man, and just share, man. Just share information, man. That's what it's
about. No, you're a friend of the show. You're, like I said, first two-time guest. It feels right, and it's the only way to do it. We really, really appreciate you. Music aside, because you're a great MC, we just appreciate you and your story.
Thank you.
Because your story is to me, is elevation, it's perseverance. Summit mentioned the pivot. Yeah. You know, how you've managed to evolve and thrive in so many different areas. That's an inspiration, and you're one of my favorite people in hip hop.
Thank you, brothers. I appreciate y'all.
Man. We love you, man. Appreciate you, bro. Be easy. Stay safe. Look after
fam. Love you too. Absolutely. I said that, and yeah, don't be afraid to tell your brothers you love them, man. Love y'all, man.
Peace.
A big thanks to Trey for joining us. It's like family now. Trey Lee is like family now.
It's true, it's true. You know? It's true.
What did he say? Yeah, when I jump on that plane, I'm coming to you guys first. You know, it's family.
You know what's crazy? I can imagine if he does come to London, like Tracy Lee going to be in my house eating rice.
Absolutely. Trey
and
would
have like a many faces listening party.
No, listen, as I said in the intro, very proud of that conversation, man. And just, that was just, man, that shit just came out, man. We just had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I love that we had that. And you know, the, and I think the basis of that was Glory the Manuscript. The only reason why we had that conversation was because of the book that had come out. Yes, we'd heard the album. You did a magnificent job with the first interview we had on him, with him, back in the summer last year. But the manuscript, reading that and seeing him break things down, made me just go, oh, we have to, this is a different conversation. It's a different
He's one of my favorite hip hop stories.
Yes, yes.
Because I look at how he's evolved.
Yeah.
And graduated past just rhyming and rapping.
Yeah.
And the man he's become.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite hip hop stories. And if you had told 15, 16 year old Chris that I'd be having live conversations about generational wealth, home ownership with Tracy Lee, I would have told you that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah, man. There's that.
Very fortunate and blessed to have that conversation.
Trey is like that success story, man. He's a success story that we see someone who we grew up listening to and has had this wonderful journey in his life and his career as a musician, lawyer, learning about life, that he can now pass that on to us. He can now pass it on into the culture. And he still, it's still important. It's still important to have those conversations. So much respect to Trey.
I want to say to our listeners, though, I'm going to put some notes in the episode notes. Just, you know, the importance of life insurance and little bits and pieces like that. It's not financial advice and we are not gurus or savants in this area. It's just to really get those conversations going and some thought. And, you know, I would highly recommend, if at all possible, that everyone listening to this podcast look into life insurance at the very least. You might not be able to make that step right now, but just have it at the forefront of your mind and have it as something to think about. If it's not for yourself, do it for your family, do it for your kids, and do it for the next generation. It's very, very important.
Well said. Well said. You can follow us on socials. I ain't giving them out because we F the socials now on the Breaking Atoms podcast. But you can follow Chris at I Am Kinetic, myself at Hip Hop Chronicle. We'll be back with yet another episode next week. But until then, peace and love.
Peace.